for August 12th, 2018. Aloha and welcome to the 61st edition of the Superfly Oz podcast. I am he, Superfly Oz himself, Stan Fitchman, here giving you perspective and insight, trustworthy perspective and insight, if I may add, to issues and things that matter to you across the world, across the United States, and here in my corner of the world, in the beautiful islands of Honolulu, Hawaii, United States of America. Again, welcome to the 61st broadcast of the podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. Just a couple of housekeeping items just to keep you in touch with the show as well as to find other shows of the Superfly Oz podcast. If you want to find the other shows of the podcast, go to www.politicshawaii.com. Politicshawaii.com is where you're going to be able to find this and older episodes of the Superfly Oz podcast. If you want to reach out to me, Superfly Oz, Stan Fitchman himself, and tell me if I'm full of it, if you like the show, or if you would like to hear other items in regard to the show, please go ahead, go to your email browser, and go to sjfhawaii@gmail.com. sjfhawaii@gmail.com. Write me out a note, send it to me, and I will be able to look at that, maybe even read that on the air, and or implement the idea. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from my listeners. Once again, welcome to the podcast. You know, today is just one of those days that is after a storm brews and after a storm passes, and everybody is nice and calm. So I've decided today to come on out here to the regional park, or the district park, excuse me, of the area that I actually live in, the McCully District Park area, and actually sit under the shade of a kind old tree and broadcast to you today. So if you hear a little bit of wind noise that is out there, it's only because we have beautiful trade winds today that are blowing across our beautiful land of Hawaii. But let's not dilly-dally, and let's get right into what is going on around here in Hawaii this week as well as yesterday. So getting right into the program, not even preluding, yesterday we had the primary election for a number of different offices here in the state of Hawaii for government offices, and that included everything from governor to Congressional District 1. We had a number of different Senate as well as House of Representative offices, as well as the Office of Hawaiian Affairs and congressional district areas and also council areas to boot. So we're really talking about a wide range of offices that were up for election yesterday, and a lot of people, over 250,000 people here in the state of Hawaii, took a ballot, marked it up, either mailed it in or they deposited it directly into a ballot box here in the state of Hawaii at one of their polling places across the state here just yesterday. And just kind of preluding to what is actually going on out there, as you probably very well know, the incumbent governor, David Ige, he took it and he won it, even though the odds were against him at the beginning of the year for him winning again a nomination to the general election. He beat out Colleen Hanabusa, who is going to be soon a former congresswoman from the state of Hawaii, by about 6 percentage points and a good fair amount of votes by the electorate. So it was a very interesting evening last night, and it was a very interesting day throughout the day, actually. And so this is where the program is going to go today. Today, the program is called Insights and Perspectives, and it's insights and perspectives of what happened on August 11th, 2018, here in the state of Hawaii. From my perspective, Superfly Oz, Stan Fitchman himself. So I figured that instead of rehashing what the newspapers, TV, and trying to guess what is actually going to be happening here in Hawaii in the near future, because that analysis is going to come in a few weeks, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just tell you that much right now, because so much stuff has happened. I figured that what I would try to do is try to give you a little bit of the flavor of the election day itself here in Hawaii in a verbal form. So what I did was I took a few recordings during the day from the different areas that I was in during the day, and providing you a couple of insights and perspectives as to what actually happened on election day here in the state of Hawaii, primary election day here in the state of Hawaii. So why don't I just kind of get into it? So I did, like I said, 5 recordings. And I started from the time right after I voted at my precinct here at Washington Intermediate School here in the McCully section of downtown Honolulu, state of Hawaii. As I kind of mentioned in a Twitter feed that I also posted up yesterday, as well as mentioning it to friends. There was a little bit of an incident that happened, and I actually told about the incident right away, right after I walked out of the booth. So here it is. Here's my first recording in regard to it. This is Insights and Perspectives of the Election here in the state of Hawaii from the voting booth by Superfly Oz himself. So a couple of observations from my polling place that I just came from to vote in the primary election here in Hawaii. First of all, there's not a lot of people here. There's a trickle of people coming in, and I saw a couple of my friends walk in while I was walking out. Second, and this is the small little incident that I relayed to on my Facebook and my Twitter, was the fact that I went into the booth after getting my envelope with the ballot and noticed that there were two pieces of paper in there. Now, I thought to myself, okay, this is going to be where you vote on one piece of paper for one set of offices and another piece of paper for another set. So I took a look at them, compared them very quickly, and realized that they were duplicate ballots. Knowing my civic duty to make sure that we keep everything firm but fair, I went ahead and told a precinct officer right away that I had two ballots in my envelope. She noted that the ballot paper sometimes stuck together, and so therefore, sometimes this actually happens. That was quite all right, and she processed me out very quickly. I went back into my booth and I made my choices, and then I went out, processed out. The whole process, including the little incident, maybe took 5 minutes. Very impressive, very good. Noted that they might be a little bit short-handed over here, but they were noting that they were going to be short-handed in all the precincts because there was not enough volunteers here. But things went efficiently, and like I said, light turnout, it seems so far, but very efficient.
The next observation I made was when I walked out of the booth, out of the area where the balloting was taking place, and I walked along the street a little bit to see what was going on, maybe see who was sign waving. Here is what I saw.
At the end of Punahou and King, or at the corner I should say, there were two sign wavers for Kaneala Inn. Right next to him there was a look like abandoned sign for Brickwood Galateria, who is running for Senate against Sharon Moriwaki. Very interesting, very quiet along this corner here. No other sign wavers, but I'm going to keep on walking along and seeing if there's any others around the area.
Eventually, I walked on down and passed by Will Aspero's headquarters over on King Street. I was thinking that maybe I could pop in and say hi to him. There was nobody at the office. I then kept on walking down the street, went around the corner, and went over to Wyola's Shave Ice in order to get some shave ice, because now I was hot and walking around. Just sat there and just kind of watched everybody shuffle in and shuffle out, get their different types of shave ice. And then I walked home and proceeded to relax for the excitement for what was going to happen in the evening. Now, in the evening, I decided to show up at two headquarters of those of candidates. One of them was Doug Chen, who was running for Congressional District 1. And the second one was the governor of the state of Hawaii, David Ige. So my first perspective from a headquarters or from a party was from Doug Chin's party over at the Hukilau restaurant at the ground floor of Executive Center in downtown Honolulu. Here's what I observed.
I'm here at Doug Chin's campaign party and noted that the first readout just came out. Shows that Doug Chin is in second place behind Ed Case, a respectable showing in the first readout. Lots of people here. The room is actually quite filling up, quite nicely actually. And there's a lot of people who are just kind of eating the food and drinking the beer and kind of relaxing a little bit. Doesn't seem to be emotion one way or the other. Taking note on all three screens that are in front of me here, the results are coming out, and I'm taking note that certain candidates that are way below
are still way below, such as Kaniala Ng. But I will also say that other individuals, such as Kim Koko Iwamoto for lieutenant governor, is starting to show a respectable amount, 12%. That's not bad. So we'll see what happens over the next hour or so as we move along to other parties during this election cycle.
My wife and I stuck around at the Chin party for about 45 minutes until my friend Bixby gave me a call and let me know that he was on his way to come pick us up in order to go to the governor's party over at the Pagoda Hotel. So we scampered back to our car, came back to our apartment, and got picked up by Bixby right away and headed on over to the Sesibon ballroom for the party. At the party itself, I did two recordings. The first one was when I first walked in, and the second one was when one of the readouts came out. So this is the first recording that I did when I walked into the room and started to take a census to what was going on in that ballroom at the Pagoda Hotel. Here's that first recording.
The governor's party up at the Sesibon ballroom over here at the Pagoda Hotel is a lively event with a lot of people around, a lot of people shuffling around. The ballroom is almost overcrowded because of the amount of people that are coming in. It's a very much a controlled event, but like I said to Bixby, my friend, before, this is a event where it could have used a larger ballroom. We're still waiting for the printout at 8:30. Right now, the governor is ahead by 6 points.
My wife and I proceeded to eat, see some friends, talk on the phone for a little bit with other people who had called us, asking us where we were at and what we were doing and what our thoughts were. And then the 8:30 readout finally came around. In fact, it came around at about 8:45. And what I did was I did a little bit of commentary as to what was going on, but I want you to just listen to the level of excitement in that room when the readout came out. And I'll tell you one thing right now, it's a nice thing to be in a party when the readouts come out and you're either in the lead or you're close to the lead. It's another thing to know that you most likely have won seeing this printout. So why don't you go ahead and listen to it, and I'll come back for some further commentary.
As you can hear in the room, they just came out with the second printout, and it's still 6 points. Amazing that the governor is still ahead of Colleen Hanabusa. Wow. They just kept going at it, and here it is right here. Good to see you. Good to see you. The percentage is 51-45, so it's still 6 points. 79,000 votes for David. And I can't read the other number, but 68,670 for Colleen. So it is becoming one of those interesting races in which the incumbent is holding a strong lead. Let's see what happens next now with this. And I'm telling you, there are people all over the place holding up signs. A lot of people celebrating. You can hear it in the room. Absolutely a pandemonium in almost in this room.
And that would do it for my recordings of the day, only because at that point in time it became very apparent that the winners who were the winners were now being named the winners, and the losers who were the losers were now being named the losers. And a couple of things that were going on after the second printout. A lot of people shuffled out because they had seen, well, we're done. We've seen everything. A few more people shuffled in. A few times later, the governor spoke, and then even more people left the room. But one thing that really happened was is that after the third printout, which I was actually at home by then, I watched it on the news. I noted that Colleen Hanabusa's headquarters had, or their her party over at the Japanese Cultural Center, the Manoa Grand Ballroom, had literally emptied out, and they were already starting to clean up when they were doing the final interviews with her. And after her conceding the race to David Ige just recently before. So over the day, a lot of the predictions that people were making in regard to who was going to win and who was going to lose came to pass. The odds were that David Ige was probably going to win this one. Nobody really knew if he was going to do it as a massive blowout or it was going to be a close race. The Lieutenant Governor's race, there was Josh Green, who actually made it, but he made it almost by the skin of his teeth. The percentages were actually pretty close between him and Jill Takuda. Ed Case, who was the former congressman from Hawaii who had not run or won office in a while, pretty much demolished everybody else in the Congressional District 1 race and really was a rehash of what happened 4 years ago when Mark Takai basically walloped everybody in that race also by taking 40% to Donna Mikado Kim's 25%. This time around, it was about the same, 36, and I believe that Doug Chin took probably about 20%, and it was 44,788 for Ed Case and 28,284 for Doug Chin. And so it was, again, one of those races where, you know, the incumbents, there was no incumbent, so the most popular candidate won. Again, more analysis in regard to all of this over the next couple of weeks, and I'll probably will have a couple of guests on the show as we analyze what has really happened here in the Hawaii primary election races. But here's a couple of final thoughts in regard to the primaries before we shut down the show for this week. First of all, we now run into the general election. On the Republican side, Andra Tupola beat out John Carroll pretty handily in that race. So now she is the nominee for governor on the Republican side. And pretty much that's going to be a race where who's going to come up with a bright idea that is going to really inspire the imagination of the voter. Now, it's my understanding that the Republican Party of Hawaii is actually going to be coming out with a new platform that all the Republicans are going to try to run off of, and that is going to be called Contract with Hawaii. I have not heard enough about it for me to actually have an opinion about it, but if it is rolled out properly and it's sold properly to the voter, this could actually mean a new paradigm in the narrative of how the governor's race is going to go. But if it's rolled out badly, if it's like a train wreck, and if it's not promoted properly, even by Tupola herself, this thing is just going to become another dust collector in the long line of dust collecting state plans that are out there by worthy candidates, and nobody is going to listen to it. And David Ige is most likely going to be the next governor of the state of Hawaii for 4 years at that point. So we're going to have to see if the Contract with Hawaii, whatever you want to call it, is actually going to inspire people to actually want to take a look at the Republicans and see if they are worthy, possibly, of their vote. The second, and as we come up to the close of the show, one thing that I want to keep everybody in mind is that now that David Ige is going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party, if he should win in November, I think that there's a lot of people over at the state legislature that are going to have to start taking a look at their chairs and saying, can this be moved to a smaller office? And the reason why is because a lot of the leadership at the state legislature backed Colleen Hanabusa. And so I was walking around last night and I basically made mention to a lot of people. I said, one of the first things that's going to happen here is that there's going to be a reorganization over at the state capitol. And leadership at both the Senate and House are going to be going under changes, because the leadership of the House and Senate went to Hanabusa. So as being the winning nominee from the party of which the majority of the legislature is from the same party, I'm pretty sure that the governor is not going to take too lightly working with the leadership at the House and the Senate, even after they backed Hanabusa and pretty much told the governor that they didn't believe in him because of the fact that he was not a leader. Well, 20,000 more people said that he was a leader, and to boot, most likely, unless the Republicans really come about with their plan and maybe try to get Andrea Tupola to win in that race, Governor David Ige, who is the current governor of the state of Hawaii, will be a governor again until the year 2022. So that is it from the Superfly Oz podcast for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, www.politicshawaii.com, sjfhawaii@gmail.com. Reach out, listen in, and return next week for the next edition of the Superfly Oz podcast, broadcast every Saturday, most times from my little nook here in the McCully section of downtown Honolulu, state of Hawaii, United States of America. See you next week, folks.